Good morning to all of you, and we welcome you on this Mother's Day to our church service. In our call to worship, we are in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verse 6 today, where it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, it's Mother's Day, and I have a lot of fond memories of smells growing up at home, especially when the biscuits were in the oven. There's just something about a biscuit cooking in the oven. My mom made the best biscuits growing up, and we, of course, like to add things to it, like poking a hole in the top and putting syrup down in there, which I can't do anymore. And we would make cheddar cheese biscuits by poking a hole, putting a big lump of cheddar cheese down in there, and it would bake, and oh, it was just so good. And there are certain things that you think about in relationship to growing up and moms and food and so forth that make you hungry. Just the mention of biscuits, right now my stomach's growling. And just the thought of that good food that we think about. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says that righteousness strikes hunger and thirsting within the hearts of believers. At least it should. If it doesn't strike hunger and thirst, something is very wrong. Something's not right about that scene. You know, there are many things that I'm sure you can think of that were your favorites growing up, and you associate them with your mother. The things that she used to make or the things that she used to bake and do, and you associate those with your mother. But my point is this: God has associated righteousness with His children. And the reason that He's done that is without it, you can't go to be with Him in heaven. There's no way. God can't allow you into His presence in heaven without His Son's righteousness on your account. But once I have it placed on my account, there's a continuous hunger and thirsting to know more about that righteousness that will allow me to live forever in heaven with His Son. To know more about that, to grow and to digest it. The Word of God is full of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see it played out in people's lives. You see it lived out in a negative way. You see it lived out in a positive way. Each chapter of the Bible unfolds an element of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? How many times growing up did you say, "I'm about to thirst to death"? Now, nobody was in that state. But we yawned, and my mom, she made sure every one of us had our own water jars in the refrigerator. We had our names on them. So she'd run to the door. She wouldn't let us come in because we were filthy. We had to be wiped up and cleaned up before she'd let us come in. But she would hand through the door our water jars, and we'd pop the top off that cold glass, and we'd drink it down. Oh, man, it was so refreshing. The righteousness of God is refreshing to your soul. Think about the best meal. That's the righteousness of Christ to your soul. Let me encourage you this morning. Check your hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Christ. Is it there? Does it exist? Is it something that's desired within your heart and life? And if it's not, fall down on your knees at that moment and cry out to God that you might know the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Let's take our hymn books this morning. Turn to number 173. Number 173. We'll sing "Channels Only," number 173. Let's stand together to sing.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you have given to us. And we thank you especially for this day as we honor our moms. We thank you, dear Father, for our mothers and the memory of our mothers. We thank you, dear Father, for Christian mothers who taught and inculcated in the hearts and minds of children the truth of Jesus Christ and the fear of God and the following of the precepts of the Word of God. We thank you for moms that have taught and are teaching the truth of your Word to children. Oh, this is the way that you've established how truth is passed along to generations through moms and dads who teach their children the Word of God. And we pray, dear Father, as we seek to honor our mothers today, that we might know and understand that your Word has much to say about mothers. And I pray, Father, that our mothers today will follow your word in every aspect of life. Pray that you'd encourage our moms today, strengthen them, protect them from the devil. They're a target of his desire to strip from the minds of children any thought of Jesus Christ, any thought of God, any thought of creation, any thought of salvation through the blood of atonement on the cross of Calvary. Lord, help our mothers to stand against that and be faithful in their teaching. We thank you, dear Father, for bringing us together today. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can gather together, that we possess a copy of the Scriptures, and that we can open it and have your Holy Spirit teach us from your Word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work today in hearts and lives. Father, we think of other faithful pastors around the globe today proclaiming your Word. We think of faithful missionaries that are serving thee in places that are very difficult, in places where they're in danger. We pray for them today that you would encourage them to be faithful to your word and that you might provide for their needs and make it a possibility to continue in that work. We think about those that are serving in Myanmar this morning, a very dangerous place right now, in a place that's in turmoil and upheaval. We pray, dear Father, that you would meet their needs and that you might give them unbridled work in that country to communicate your gospel to those that are lost, to those that are questioning right now and don't know about the future. They can know for sure that they are walking in paths of righteousness through the Word of God. Help these individuals, Father, to have what they need to communicate the truth of your Word. Pray for other missionaries around the globe today that you would encourage them and strengthen them in the work that you've called them to do. And Father, we think of our country. Lord, our hearts are challenged, grieving in many cases because of the wickedness of our nation and the leadership of our nation that is stripping any thought of God out of the national conversation. We pray, dear Father, that you might do a work and that you might send an awakening to this land. Lord, raise up preachers that will communicate your word without fear or favor. And I pray, dear Father, that you would turn our country back to thee. And Lord, we know it starts right here at Grace Bible Church. It starts in our homes. It starts in the leadership of our homes, communicating the truth faithfully and consistently, not just in word, but also in deed and how we live. And Father, I pray that you'd be with our men and women that are serving our country today. We think of them locally. We think of them serving all around the world today. We know that they face challenges, and we pray for those that are believers in the service to be faithful witnesses for Thee, that You would encourage them by leading other souls to Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that You might be with them today. We ask now Your blessing upon this service. We pray, Father, a special blessing upon our mothers today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated, and we'll turn over now to the front of our hymn books to hymn number 10. Hymn number 10, Now Think We All Are God, number 10. Just the first and last verses, hymn number 10. Number 13. Brethren, we have met to worship hymn number 13.
Here.
appreciate that special by the sisters, the sister duo, Caitlin and Nicole. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 15 this morning. Matthew chapter 15. The title of my message is The Syrophoenician Mom, and we're going to get to her. But I'm going to share with you a few thoughts, kind of walking through the Bible, highlighting moms this morning that are given to us. There are many, many mothers that are highlighted throughout the Scriptures. And you know, as of 2020, it's estimated that there are 2 billion mothers on the planet. 2 billion mothers. 85.4 million in the United States alone. So this is a large segment of society, our mothers, and we certainly need to be thankful. J.C. Ryle, who's one of my heroes of the faith, was a pastor in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he lost his wife in 1886. He had just celebrated his 70th birthday, and he lost his wife. And during the 14 years that he lived past the death of his wife, he was often heard to say the following: a good wife brings her husband nearer to heaven. And further, a good mother brings her whole family nearer to heaven. Let me read that again. This is what he would say often in his messages after his wife's passing. A good wife brings her husband nearer to heaven. And further, a good mother brings her whole family nearer to heaven. To celebrate Mother's Day, I want to begin this morning by remembering the many biblical stories of motherhood, stories that too many of us forget or do not take the time to celebrate that are found in the Scriptures. I remember Dinah and Joseph, children of Jacob and Rachel, burying their mother on the way to Bethlehem and leaving her grave behind. I know many children who have faced this day suddenly without their mom. I remember Rachel, Sarah, and Elizabeth in the Scriptures, and think of every mom on the way throughout life who has held for the first time their newborn child and found it to be simultaneously the greatest gift and yet the hardest task. I think all moms identify with that statement. I imagine the hundreds of women who never are mentioned by name in the Scriptures because they were unable to bear children to pass on the family faith. I know too many women who have faced miscarriage, infertility, and great disappointment. And we remember you today, if that's the case. I remember Rahab, Deborah, Joanna, and Phoebe, women whose lives were recorded in the Scripture with special care to show us their gracious natures of reaching out to others they did not know. If you look at all 4 of those ladies, you find that characteristic. They reached out to people that they did not know. I remember the mother of Moses and the daughter of Pharaoh, linked in time and possession of a boy by the name of Moses. One gave up her child to save her child, and one took in that child despite the risk in not being a mother. I remember all the women today who have given up their children in hope of a better life for them. I remember those who have made a family through adoption, who has taken in a child not her own, because sometimes bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh is not always how a family is made. And I think that's important to remember. I remember Naomi crying out, "Call me Mara," which means bitter. I remember the unnamed wife of Job. I know of women who have buried their children, lives lost unbearably early. I remember Hagar and Tamar, the wife of Ur, women whose lives were forever changed because they were commanded to lay with a man who was not married to them and became pregnant. Forced. I remember that Hagar was sent into the wilderness with her son Ishmael at her side because of the jealousy of Sarah, who had set up the whole scenario and yet rejected her. Judah, accused Tamar, whom he had raped, of being a prostitute and ordered her death, only to rescind it at the last minute when she produced evidence that the child was his. I know too many women raising their children alone this Sunday while their immoral former husband is out living life to please himself. Sadly, I know some in our community that are that way. Breaks my heart. I remember Rebecca and her twins, Esau and Jacob, fighting already inside the womb, the Bible says. I remember she chose a favorite son, just as her husband had. I know too many children who bear the trauma of inconsiderate parents who, perhaps doing what they think is right, are not doing what is right. And their children are scarred as a result of that. I remember Hannah, her heart so wounded by the abuse of her husband's other wife, Peninnah, that she wept at the altar of God until she could not speak. And how Eli, the holy priest, assumed that she must have been drunk to be doing this. I know many women whose heartbreak has turned into great blessing, as it was with Hannah. Here before us in Matthew chapter 15 is a testimony of a mother. She's called a woman of Canaan. She's called a Syrophoenician woman. She's called a Greek in the Mark chapter 7 passage. But she's first and foremost, as brought out in the testimony of the Word of God, a mother. Kind of sad to me that over the years we just call her the Syrophoenician woman. But in reality, she was a Syrophoenician mother, because that's what it was all about. The reason that she went to see Jesus, the reason that she talked to the Lord Jesus, was because she was a mom who wanted her daughter back. Would you turn with me to Matthew 15 if you haven't done so already? I want to read verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan was out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Turn over, please, to Mark chapter 7. I want to read the parallel passage because there are some things shared with us that are not shared in the Matthew passage. Verse 24 of Mark chapter 7. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. So we give him a detail that Matthew doesn't give. He was trying to get away from the crowd. He was trying to hide, but he was found by this woman, verse 25, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Father in heaven, I pray that you would teach us this morning from your word on this Mother's Day. I pray that we might learn the lessons that are given to us here of a faith of a lady who loved her daughter dearly and wanted her delivered from this devil. And the only one who could help her was the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for her faith. I thank you, Father, for her persistence and her desire to get from the hand of Jesus Christ crumbs so that her daughter might be healed. I pray that you'd work in our hearts today, that you would encourage our moms today as we consider this passage. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's important for us to realize that the Lord Jesus is not in Israel at this particular time. He's 40 miles north of Israel. He's in Tyre, in Sidon, two cities along the coast there in what was formerly known as Phoenicia. He is there, and he is resting with his disciples from their ministry in Capernaum. And by the way, there are three chapters dedicated in the book of Matthew to the Gentile ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ up in this area, away from the Jews, ministering to none other than Gentiles and Jews. This is important to know from this story because it helps us to understand why Jesus said what he said to this mother concerning taking bread from the children and giving it to the Gentile. You have to understand where he's coming from, yet he still ministered to this Gentile mother. Now, I think it's also important for us to understand that of the 35 recorded miracles in the Gospels, four of them directly involve women. All right? The healing of Peter's mother-in-law in Mark chapter 1, verses 30 through 31. The raising of the widow of Nain's son in Luke chapter 7, both of them mothers. The healing of the woman with an issue of blood, Mark chapter 5, it's not recorded there whether she was a mother or not. And the casting out of the demon, as recorded here in Mark chapter 7 and in Matthew chapter 15. So three of the four deal with mothers. That's significant, I think, for us to understand. Jesus had come to this territory just to get some rest. Have you ever gone on vacation somewhere and didn't get any rest? I think every vacation I ever went on, I didn't get rest. All right? You know, it's supposed to be a time of relaxation and rest, but if you go on vacation with children, forget it. All right? And I'm not saying don't go on vacations. And I'm not saying don't go on vacations with children. Just know this, when you get back, you're probably going to be more tired than when you left. So the idea of vacation being a time of rest is almost a misnomer. Unless you go by yourself, all right? You go by yourself, get a cabin way out in the middle of the woods, and sleep all the time, you'll get some rest. But if you go with other people, you will not get rest. You'll be running the whole time. Or you'll go on a rope swing and break the handle on it and go straight down on the rocks and end your vacation and rush back to Pensacola and have to have immediate surgery on your knee like I did, all right? So, you know, vacations can be that way. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been ministering in Galilee. He's left Capernaum. He's gone up north. And he says, men, let's get some rest. Let's take it easy for a while. And so he's gone up there to rest. He's made his way into a house unnoticed, but he has been noticed because word spread, Jesus Christ is here. Jesus is here. And word came to this mother that Jesus was there in her town. And she said, I'm going to go find Jesus. He's the only one that can help my daughter. Think about this. This was the motivation for this mother to go to Jesus. And that was to plead her case with the Lord of creation to heal her daughter. I think about some daughters right now that we're praying for. These are young ladies that we are praying for, college-age young ladies, that we're taking before the throne of grace. And I hope and pray that you have the same urgency that this mother has that's recorded here. I'm going to talk about that. The urgency of a mom for her children. Because this, I think, is an important side note of all the wonderful things that happen here, all the wonderful things that are said, the challenge to this mother's faith, And her going over a hurdle, three different hurdles that I'm going to talk about. Now, this is not intended to be a message about jumping hurdles on a track somewhere. But there were barriers in the way of this mom. And she went over every one of them to be able to plead her case to Jesus, not knowing how he was going to rule, not knowing how he was going to answer. And by the way, we live the same way today. We don't know how God's going to answer. We've seen the answered prayer up to this point. Amen. We have seen the answer to prayer, but there's still more to do, and we continue to plead our case as intercessors. We're praying for Olivia. I think about little Olivia that we prayed for 2 years. Far out at the ballpark this week. She was running around playing. This same little girl that we didn't know whether she was going to live or die because of her liver transplant, not knowing if she was going to get a liver, not knowing whether she would survive the surgery. And yet, she's out here playing at the ballpark, her older sister playing softball. And we saw how God answered her prayer. Now, she's not out of the woods. She's on anti-rejection medication, which they've told the family will shorten her life significantly. We don't know how long she's going to live. But I do know this, God answered prayer in behalf of her. We went to the throne not knowing how God was going to rule. What was going to bring the most glory to His name? Sometimes the most glory means letting go of someone. Letting them go on to be with Him. Can we receive that news with rejoicing that God did answer? You see, that's the difficult part. And this mother demonstrates to us, this Syrophoenician mom demonstrates to us the kind of faith that stirs the heart of God. The kind of faith that stirred the Son of God's heart. And He commended her. This saying of this mother, notice that here in the Mark passage. He said to her, verse 29, "For this saying, go thy way. Your daughter has been delivered of the devil." What saying? What did she say? She said this, "Lord, even the dogs under the table get the crumbs that the children drop." You know what she was asking for? Her daughter's life. She says, "Lord, I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs." And she got her daughter back. You know, I've often wondered about how did this daughter respond to her mom when her mom told her the story of all. We have no idea as to her age. She may have been a young girl. She may have been a preteen. She may have been a teenager. We don't know. But she was possessed of a devil, and her mom went over three hurdles to take her daughter's need to the Lord, and she got an answer that changed and transformed her daughter's life. I want us to think about these three hurdles this morning because I think it's important on Mother's Day for us to understand the obstacles that this mother had to go over in order to see her daughter healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hurdle number one. We talked about the mother's faith on Wednesday night, and I'm just going to quickly review that for those that may have not been with us on Wednesday. But she reached out to Jesus in spite of not knowing how Jesus was going to answer her request. Do not let the not knowing keep you from asking. Can I say that again? Not knowing how He's going to answer, not knowing how He's going to rule, God still wants us to come to Him and to beg of Him an answer. He wants you to come. That's the first hurdle. You know, some people won't come. Well, God's not going to answer anyway. God's not going to do this for me. I'm not even going to bother Him. How foolish. Because you see, it's more about the development of your faith than actually the ruling that will come down. And that, my friends, is one of the great needs of the church today. We run from challenges. We run from difficulties. We don't want them in our life. We want it easy. We want things to go smoothly. I don't think there's anyone. I want this coming week to be the hardest week I've ever gone through. No one here. If you did that, we'd have a little counseling session after church today. Because there's a desperate need. Nobody wants to have the worst week of your life. But you may be facing it and you don't know it yet. You don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how God's going to rule this coming week. But I can tell you something for sure. You can have your faith stretched and challenged so you can face whatever might come down the road of life that you don't know is coming. You don't know the challenges that you're going to face. And because the Lord Jesus Christ challenged this mother's faith and stretched it, God ruled in her favor. God ruled in her favor. Said, go home now. Your daughter's healed. Your daughter's delivered. You talk about good news. Talk about good news. But the first hurdle was this. You got to go to the right person to ask. You got to be willing to come to Jesus. Have you been to Jesus today about your kids? Have you been to the Lord Jesus about your grandkids? How about your great-grandchildren? Have you been to the Lord Jesus? You've got to have an urgency the same as this mother had about every child and every grandchild and every great-grandchild that God may give you. You've got to go with the desire, the only way I'm going to find out if my daughter's going to be delivered is go to the one that can do something about it. And that was the Lord Jesus. And she went and she begged Him to undertake. She was willing to go and humble herself before Jesus Christ. I trust I can communicate something this morning that will shake us up a bit, all of us. This mother refused to concede her Greek ethnic background as a barrier in receiving a gift of deliverance from the very hand of Jesus Christ. Just because she wasn't a Jew. She said, Lord, I know, I understand. Notice this. What she says here. The woman was a Greek, verse 26, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought Him that He would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus says to her, let the children first be fed, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto Him, yes, Lord. In the Matthew passage, she said, true, Lord. But what else did she say? Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. You know, it is such a moving statement from a mother that wanted to have her daughter back. She said, that's true, Lord. And I'm not asking you to set aside your purposes. All I'm asking are for the crumbs. That's faith. Faith is reaching out, not knowing how God is going to rule, but knowing that God is the only answer to my need. So I'm just going to keep coming until He says yes or until He says no. And if there's a maybe, I just keep coming. I keep coming. I keep coming. This is the challenge of the Syrophoenician mother this morning. Now you might say, well, that's pretty presumptive to just keep coming back. That's pretty presumptive. Praise God! I can be presumptive because He honored this mother because of this saying, go and receive your daughter. She's healed. Persistence. That's a good quality. You know, we need to be persistent. Now, when God says no, then we step back. Amen? When God says maybe, we keep moving. We're like the woman that went to the judge. She needed the judge to rule in her behalf. And she just kept going and kept going until finally, because of the persistence of this mother, the judge ruled in her behalf. Or like the neighbor that came over to the fella that needed bread. He had some visitors and he didn't have anything to feed them. And he goes to his neighbor and he knocks on the door and they're already in bed asleep. He said, I need some help. I need some food. Go away. My family's in bed. That's how most of us would answer. We're asleep right now. Well, he wasn't asleep. He was awake. But the neighbor just kept knocking until finally the man goes and gets him what he needs and gives it to him and he goes on his way. You see, folks, and especially when it comes to mothers, there needs to be a persistence when it comes to our children and to our grandchildren and to our great-grandchildren when it comes to bringing them before God, bringing them before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first hurdle. You got to go. You got to come to Him. Number two, there's a second hurdle here that I don't want you to miss. This hurdle was her reply of faith to Jesus Christ's barrier that He put up before her. I want to read to you what Sunshine posted on Friday. She had wrote some comments on Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1, 3, 5, and 8. That great passage where Isaiah, after King Uzziah had died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He got his eyes on the Lord. He had his eyes on Uzziah before. This is what she wrote. I haven't seen Nahum for almost 6 weeks. I had seen him daily for over 6 years. But now I haven't seen him for 6 weeks. I have seen his body, but I haven't seen Nahum. I have seen his eyes open. I have seen him sleep. I have seen him cry quite often for the past 2 days. Yet I haven't really seen Nahum. I have seen Jesus for the past 6 weeks. I have seen him in suffering. I have seen his peace, his grace, his joy, his sustaining power in very hard moments. His power to draw me and others to himself. His restoration after moments of fear and doubt. His faithfulness. I have seen him in his glory as he manifests himself and shows himself to be sufficient in our darkest days and more lovely than earth's dearest loves. I have seen Jesus. The second hurdle here is a hurdle of seeing Jesus. And in spite of a barrier that he puts up about, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread to you Gentiles at this time. She sees Jesus and said, yes, but even the dogs get to have some of the crumbs. She didn't turn her eyes away from Jesus, did she? Sunshine hasn't turned her eyes away from Jesus regarding Nahum seeking the Lord. Nahum never awakened from this sleep, brain sleep, because of the damage that's been done, or he might. We all consider the fact that God hasn't quite answered yet. It's still a maybe. And so we're seeking His face. You see, she didn't take her eyes off of Jesus in spite of the barrier. She kept her eyes locked in. You know, one of the lessons that I've learned since I've been saved at the age of 14 is that it's always better for me to keep my eyes on the Lord than it is to take them off. And one of the great lessons that we find in the Scripture is of Peter taking his eyes off the Lord on the Sea of Galilee. He walked on water. None of us have done that. Okay? I've been skiing before, and I walked on water for like 2 seconds when I was jerked off of the skis, and I did beep, beep, blah, 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 whoosh, roll over in the water. That's as close as I'm ever going to get to walking on water. But Peter walked on water. But he stopped when what took place? The Bible records this. When he took his eyes off the Lord, the Bible says he began to what? Sink. And then he cries out to God because he has sunk down in the waves. And I'm going to tell you, the Sea of Galilee, when it's stormy and those storms come over those mountains and come over that water, the waves can get up to 12 feet, we're told. And he was slipped down under the waves, and the Lord Jesus Christ in that moment lifted him back up, and he appeared in the boat. And straightway, he was in the boat. So the Lord Jesus performed several miracles at that moment. He allowed Peter to walk on water. He lifted Peter up and put him immediately in the boat. What was better? It's better to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Don't get your eyes, because the Bible says that Peter looked away at the tumultuous sea, the turmoil of the sea. He looked away and he saw that and took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. And the same thing will happen to you and the same thing will happen to me when I take my eyes off the Lord. This mother kept her eyes on the Lord Jesus in spite of the barrier that she was a Greek, he was a Jew. God had a special plan for the Israelites. But you know what? God loved the Gentiles too. Because John said this, and others, that he would be a light to lighten the Gentile. And he said, because of this saying, because of your faith, I'm going to give you your daughter back. Third hurdle, very quickly, because our time is gone. It must have rejoiced Jesus' heart when she took his very words and used them as a basis for her plea. She wasn't being forward when she took Jesus' own words and said the following, yes, true, Lord, but even the dogs get to have the crumbs. You know, those that are pet owners know exactly what we're talking about, all right? Dog will be running through the house, you'll be eating your dinner. Don't feed the dogs, but there's always a temptation to break off a little something and stick it up underneath the table, right? Dog sit there at your feet, waiting, all right, for that crumb, that piece of bread, that little piece of fat that was left over from your meal. And they eat that, okay? Now, we have never fed our cat under the table, but she'll still come around. She likes to hang out at the table. She's had some experiences with the table. She's been caught a few times on top of the table, and she got the water bottle drenching, all right? She hates that water bottle. You don't even have to put water in it anymore. All you have to do is go over there near it. Pew! She's gone. She's getting old now. She can't get up there like she used to. She can still get on the kids' beds, but I haven't seen her up on the kitchen. Have you seen her on the table in recent years? Yeah. But my wife would get out the water bottle. My dad has a cat, and sometimes the cat misbehaves, and so the water bottle comes out. Phew! Cat back into hiding in the back room. It's amazing. This mother was stimulated by the words of Jesus Christ to take one more step, one more hurdle to get over. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, truth. Yes, that is your plan, but even the dogs get to have the crumbs. And that statement of faith, that going over that third hurdle, that statement of faith moved Jesus Christ. Said, you can go now. You don't have to wait here any further. Go to your daughter. She's healed. She's been delivered. Look back at the Matthew passage, please. For just a moment, we're going to close with this. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy what? Faith. Don't see that in the Mark passage, but we see it here. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee ever as thou wilt. Who said that? Who said those words? The one who had created that mother. The one who had spoke the worlds into existence says to a human mother, be it as thou wilt. That's powerful, folks. That stirs my soul. That when I pray before the Lord, sometimes He's pleased with faith. And He said, be it as thou wilt. Would you bow your heads, please? Close your eyes. This mother from Syrophoenicia. She had Syrian blood, Greek blood, Phoenician blood. She was outside the family of Israel, and she knew it. But she didn't let it stop her from going to the one who could answer her prayer. We've got some precious boys and girls in this church. The Lord's given us young families, young children, and every one of them are going to live somewhere forever. They're either going to live in heaven or they're going to live in a devil's hell. We don't want them to go to a devil's hell. And so by God's grace, we teach the gospel to children in this church. We teach the gospel at Santa Rosa Christian School because we don't want children to go to the devil's hell. You say, the devil was against this mother. The devil had allowed one of his demons to possess her daughter. And she was going to fight with every fiber of her being to get her daughter back. And she did. But she had to go over some hurdles. I pray for moms today, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and mothers, and young ladies who one day will be a mom. Greatest privilege in the world to be called mother. But I hope that you go into it with your eyes open. There's going to be challenges in life. There's going to be days when you don't know whether your child's going to survive, maybe a sickness that comes, or maybe cancer, God forbid, or maybe a tree limb that falls on your child. You don't know. You don't know how God's going to rule this coming week or in the months and years ahead. But I do know this, that in spite of the challenges that you face, you can exercise faith in the person of Jesus Christ, and that He is moved by faith. He is moved by faith. That's the testimony of these two passages. He is moved by faith. Won't you come to Him in faith this morning? Taking your children to Him. Taking them every day to Him. And seeking His best for your children. And His best is salvation by faith. Salvation through grace alone. Don't let the hurdles of life and the seeming hurdles of maybe ethnicity or maybe the hurdle of, I don't know how God's going to rule. I don't know whether I should go to Him. Don't let that be a barrier to going to Jesus Christ today. Father in heaven, I pray that You do a work in this church. Lord, help us not to let things get in the way of exercising faith in Thee. We don't always know how You're going to rule, but we can go to You, and we can go with an intensity and desperation and persistence that pays off in the end. Lord, help us to increase our faith by drawing closer to Thee. No matter what You say, no matter what things You may put up, Lord, help our faith to be increased in Thee, knowing that there's no one else we can go to. Father, I pray that You'd work in our church family and in the hearts and lives of our children, hearts and lives of our moms that are present and those that may be moms in the near future. Lord, I pray that they might go in with their eyes open, that the only one that can save their children is the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to conclude our service today, not by singing a song, but by having our moms stand. I want us to recognize our moms this morning. And as you leave in the foyer, we're going to have a couple of our young ladies there to make sure that you get a bag that's got some gifts inside of it to say thank you, but also to encourage you as a mom. And let you know that we're praying for you. Can I have our moms please stand at this time? I'm not going to have you walk forward. I'm not going to do that to you. But I want you to look around at the moms that we have here. We've got some in the audio room. We've got some down in the church nursery that are there. So I don't want you to forget about them. But I want you to look around and realize that the next two generations, are you listening to me? The next two generations are looking to these ladies right here of our church. That's a privilege, and yet it's also a burden. And it requires prayer, intensive prayer. So thank you, moms, for being here today. Thank you for what you do on a daily basis. Thank you for the countless hours that you spend taking care of your kids. Thank you for getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go tend to a child that's sick or just has to be tended to. Don't have to be sick. Thank you for the intensity of your ministry. And realize this, it's more than just dirty diapers. It's more than just going shopping for the kids and having to fix meal and pick them up from school and take them from school and help them with their homework and the thousands of things that a mama does. It's leading your children to Jesus Christ. That's your primary role. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And I want, as you leave today, I want you to thank these moms, as many of them as you can. And you children that are here today, don't just throw out, thank you, Mom, and go on about life. You help your mother at home. You be there to assist. Pray for your mom, those that are old enough to do that. And especially be grateful for them and to show them by the way you live your life. Amen? By the way you live your life, kids. That tells whether you love your mom or not. It's not just empty words. I love you, Mom. I gave you a card at Mother's Day. I fulfilled my obligation. Living in obedience to your mother and your father is the only demonstration of love for them. Okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is righteousness. Did you get that? Same word. Right, righteousness. Father in heaven, bless our moms today. We thank you for them. We thank you for their great sacrifice. We thank you, Father, for their love for children and for other people's children in this church. We thank you for the demonstration of love that comes on a weekly basis here at Grace Bible Church. Now, Father, I pray that you'd watch over one of them, put a hedge about them, dear Father, and may they have their faith stretched to grow in faith, so that they can handle the rulings that come down from your almighty throne in heaven. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.